Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. What a journey this is through Holy Week, to see day by day what our God has done for us, to see what He sacrificed, to see what He bore, to see what He did to heal right in the very last moments. He was reaching out to people. But we couldn't figure him out, so the only thing we could do was get rid of him. That's man's working, you know. I'm threatened by this presence, rather than what might God be teaching me? What might God be showing me? But anyway, the situation certainly was not good, and the forces against Jesus were rising very, very much. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall stand at the head of your calendar. You shall reckon it the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every one of your families must procure for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one and shall share in the lamb, in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it. The lamb must be a year old male and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and then with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. That same night they shall eat its roasted flesh with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. This is how you are to eat it, with your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. You shall eat like those who are in flight. It is the Passover of the Lord. For on this same night I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt, I, the Lord. But the blood will mark the houses where you are." Look at that protection. "Seeing the blood, I will pass over you. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you. This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generation shall celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution." I look at the mercy of God once again. Look at the kindness of God, even as He is about to be slaughtered. Look at His mercy and His kindness toward us. Psalm 116 tells us our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ. When we drink of this cup, we drink the blood of Christ. "How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good He has done for me?" You know, that could take a year we could spend on that question. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good He has done for me? "The cup of salvation I will take up, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His faithful ones. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosened my bonds. To you will I offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all His people." Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, "Lord, You are my Lord, You are my Savior, You are my only God, and I turn to You now in the presence of all His people, and I commit my life once to You again. I want to be beside You, Lord. I want to be near to You. I want to treat Your wounds by my good acts. I want to do things for You, Lord, today. I want to do something that perhaps is less selfish of me than usually, or someone who is in need in my parish or at work. Lord, help me to reach out today. and to love you by giving to them what they need. Help me, Lord. And then we read from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is my body that is for you. He's giving us his body, his blood. He's giving us his whole life to strengthen us. Whole life in every way, nothing held back. In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. He died for me." We offer him thanksgiving. We offer him anything we can to thank him for what he did for us. He made it possible for us to have eternal life. That's not just an idea, that's the reality. He made it possible for us to have eternal life. Please, please cooperate with him. Please accept his graces. I pray for you a lot, and I want to pray in a way that gives people a freedom and a peace. I want to ask God to do for you what only he can do, to change something in your life that needs to be changed. May God give you that grace even today. And then we take a look at the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." And Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." He doesn't want, he loves his master. And yet Jesus asked him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you?" Think about that. Do you realize what I have done for you? Because that same question is being asked of each of us. Do you realize what I have done for you? He saved us from death for eternal life. "You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should do also." What are we going to do with that? take a cloth and a pail of water and go wash people's feet? Maybe. Go among the poor. Wash their feet. Wash your family's feet. Wash the feet of good friends. And ask God to give them grace and power to follow him more closely. You might be mocked. You might be ridiculed at times, but you'd never be in the court of God mocked or ridiculed. You would be praised and thanked and blessed. If we do it for the right reason, we want to give to those in need. We want to show them a sign of God's love, of God's presence. Take a look at that. It might be to put $5 in a man's pocket when he doesn't see it. It might be to take care of some woman getting across the street that most of us, we just go straight across and we don't look around us at all. Whatever it is, or a child that's lost in a grocery store, take a few minutes. It's the Lord. He's present in all those situations. He is present. He asks us to wash one another's feet. And there are many ways to do it. Might be to get them a cup of coffee. And that might be easier than actually washing their feet. But in other ways, it may be exactly what's needed. So brothers and sisters, I ask you, wherever you are right now in your walk with God, look at this holy week. Look at the readings that are here. And say to the Lord, what is one thing I could do this Easter that will become a permanent part of my life by your grace? What is there? One thing I could do, one thing I could change or do better or do for the first time. One thing that I could do that would bring me closer to you and would bring others closer to Jesus. Please, brothers and sisters, take this seriously. This isn't, you know, just a season where we try to look pious and holy. The days before Easter, I often think of them as a cry from God to say, I've given you everything. I'm giving you everything. Please come close. Please follow me. Please. I will lead you to life. This company won't. That campaign won't. This situation, that situation. We can always do things that better our society. But what we want is to be in eternity with God. He wants you. He loves you. He would die just for you. He loves you that much. You say, oh, I'm not so good. I'm not anything. God looks at your heart. So many people have given up on doing better because they think it's too late or too much or too hard. But it isn't. One thing at a time. What is it that God would want of you, even now, as we draw very close to Easter? What's one thing that you could set aside, or one thing that you could take on, that would be most pleasing to him? And I will pray for you. Every day I pray for all of you who listen to this radio program, and I will continue to do so. May God bless this week for you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.